Mike, thank you for that. Isn't it wonderful just how much is held visually around us? And I hope that actually every time you start looking at that window now, you might look at it in a slightly different way. And you're looking for those details. But those words and what Mike is describing to us, taken from the Nicene Creed. What creeds? We start off with those words, we believe. Let's just have a little think about what the creeds are about. And then we will say that together. The Christian church is unique in its use of creeds. There's a number of different creeds that we actually use. There's the Nicene Creed, which we tend to use at communion services. There's the Apostles' Creed, which is often used in morning and evening prayer or baptism. And then there's the Athanasian Creed, the authorised form of that you'll find in the Book of Common Prayer. It's a very lengthier affair, but often used at particular festal days and celebrations. But the Christian church is really quite unique in having creeds. Other faiths will have their particular scriptures and their sacred texts, but we have these creeds, these statements of doctrine. And why is the question? Why would we have them? Well, answered basically in those two statements there. To bind the church together and to avoid heresy. At the time that the first creed was put together, the Nicene Creed, lots of strange thoughts and ideas were starting to circulate about what Christianity was all about and why Jesus had come and why he died and what his sacrifice was all about. And in our reading this morning of Paul to the church in Colossae there, we've got him writing to that church for that very specific purpose. Colossae was a large trading city, lots of people coming together, mix of cultures, mix of different materials and goods that would be shared, but also a mixture of faith and expressions and different religions. And what began to happen was that the church in Colossae started to proclaim that actually we don't need just Christ on his own, he's not enough. And they started adding things to it or even taking things away. A bit of a similar challenge today in many ways. People accept certain parts of the Christian faith and not others. Well, that's just a bit too challenging, that. I like this bit, but I don't like that bit, so I'll take a bit of this. A bit of a pick and mix kind of approach to faith. So one of the reasons about putting the creeds together was to make sure that everybody could keep online and adhering to and proclaiming the truth. That salvation is through Christ alone. That the supremacy of Christ, he is everything. That's all we need. They began to express that actually salvation can be found through themselves, through doing good things, and just being nice to one another. Now that's all well and good, isn't it? We want people to be nice to one another. But we're not going to be right with God just by doing that. Or they began to proclaim that actually Jesus was inferior to other spiritual powers. We get that idea today in many ways. We get also an expression in Colossae that angels are really important. And everybody started having their own personal little angels that they would worship. Hey, we have that today, don't we? Just walk into some gift shops and see what's hanging around the place. Have your lucky guardian angel keyring or whatever. Yeah? That was happening then. It's happening today. One thing I'm glad isn't happening so much today is their preoccupation about going back to male circumcision. Fortunately, that one's less popular today. Right? But some of those things that were going around needed sorting out. And Paul is writing to the church. So, the Nicene Creed then came out of a council meetings coming together. Two very important meetings early in the 4th century to decide what are the basic tenets of our faith. And it was this. We believe that God is one, but expressed through God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, totally supreme, created all things that we can see, as Mike was saying a moment ago, created all the things that we cannot see, but that God is in control. God is one, the church is one, and the church is holy. Now let's just have a look at that a little bit. First of all, the church is one. Wow, really? You know, when we're looking at what's going on in the news at the moment and about certain decisions being made that feel like there's division in the church, and there's going to be division as people agree and people disagree. Now, in one sense, that's always gone on. But it feels like we're dealing with some really big stuff at the minute. What does it mean then that the church is one when there's division and there's schisms about? It means the church is one under God our Father. The church is one under our following of the leadership of Jesus Christ. That's what we're proclaiming. That we are one under God. And that the church is holy. Now, what do we mean by that? The church is holy not because everyone who comes is morally flawless, looking out at you all, and you all looking very much back at me, all right? That's not why the church is holy. In actual fact, the exact opposite is true. That's why the church is holy. The church is holy not because we are so good. The church is holy because God is so good. And that it's Him, it's through Him, that, and through Jesus Christ, that we can be right before God. And made holy before Him. So we celebrate that, that the church is one and the church is holy. The church is Catholic. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we all follow Rome. What it means is that the church is universal. That's what that meaning of that word is. The church is Catholic. It is universal. It's for all people of all nations. The church is apostolic. The church is apostolic because every single member of it is called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is what we proclaim. That is what we remind ourselves of. The church is apostolic. We are called to share what we know of Jesus Christ. And we can do that in so many different ways, can't we? Remember, because I've shared these words with you before, the words of our Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. He says this. He says, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ is far too important to be left to the likes of the clergy. Right? We are all involved in that. That is our calling. That is our raison d'etre. That is why the church exists. To share that good news of Jesus Christ. We are here for everyone who isn't. ... yet. That's why we exist. That's why we are here. That's why it is so important that we come together to encourage one another in our worship, to encourage one another in our faith. You know, there might be different expressions of our worship. There needs to be, because we are different. And the people out there who aren't in here yet are all very different. And we need to find different ways of sharing this incredible story with them, this good news. But we come together to encourage one another. And you've heard me say this before so many times. Never underestimate the power your physical presence makes on encouraging your brothers and sisters in worship. When you are not here, you will be missed. We miss those who aren't here with us right now, because they're part of the church and we want to be growing as church. Nothing attracts numbers like numbers. Oh, wow. Remember what the psalm is saying about, I rejoiced when I heard them say, let's go to God's house today. The impact it would be on our town and our villages when folks see loads of people piling into a building. What's going on there? I'll tell you what's going on there. and it attracts interest. We're called to be apostolic. So the creeds are there for this purpose, to remind us. Last slide, Mike, thank you. The creeds unite us. The creed directs us. It instructs us. And it affirms us. And they're beautiful in that. But whichever expression of them, and there are, let's say I gave you the top three there, they come back to those basic truths of what we believe. And it's good to learn it to heart. It's often the way we remember is through music, isn't it? I can go through the glory, or I can go through the creed because I was taught it with music when I was a kid. But to know it is so important. So we're going to take a moment now to say that creed together, the Nicene Creed together. And then I'm going to invite Heather up to lead us in our intercessions and our prayers this morning. But as we say this, that we might reflect on some of the things perhaps I've been saying about why it's there. And we might be reminded again by looking to that east window of those pictorial images of what we are declaring. The supremacy of Christ in all things. And the transformation that makes to us and for us. I'm going to invite you to stand, if you're able to, as we say this together. Is that a traditional posture before the Lord as we declare these words of faith together? We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.